you know, kind of talking about like this, that state of the industry, that session I gave at Synergy, that 45-minute kind of crazy session on the state of the industry. It's basically that, except 3-hour version. So, you know, if you thought I talked a lot, then just give me some more time.
Well, we you know, there was, how many people watched? 1,400 or so people watched your laptop recording of your presentation in one of your presentations in Australia.
So. Yeah, was that? Did you listen? Was that actually listenable? I don't know. Like, that was literally with the built-in microphone and built-in camera.
I gotta
camera.
Be honest. I watched part of it to see how it was quality-wise, but I listened to you talk a lot, and so I didn't really watch.
You kind of had your fill.
I was curious, you know, technically how the sound and production turned out, which was actually not so bad, all things considered.
You know what I said in that show, and I was surprised that someone tweeted this, which means at least one person listened to it. I made that analogy to the VDI and teenage sex, or VDI and high school sex, and I've said this analogy before, but here's the thing: I'm pretty sure that I didn't make this up. So what I mean is, like, you know, this is something that I've been saying a lot, but it's something that that I have been, I guess, like repeating. You know what I mean? So where I'm going with this is, so if you haven't heard it, where I said that, so VDI is like high school sex, where it's one of those things that everyone is talking about. It seems like really hot and trendy. But when it comes down to it, it's like there's a lot more talk than there is of people actually doing it. And the people who, you know, everyone's saying they're doing it, but when you actually go and ask them, it's like, well, they're not really doing it, you know? And then the people who are doing it, you know, they're like thinking they're really cool for doing it, but secretly they're thinking like it's a little bit more awkward than they thought, and it's not quite as good as I thought. And then of course, you know, and they're not even sure if they're doing it right, or if what they're doing even counts. And then of course, you know, as you get older, by the way, with hindsight, you realize that, you know, it gets better and, you'll be able to move on. And, the thing is, I don't actually know who said that originally, as I was saying. You know, I can't take credit for inventing that analogy. Someone did.
You're the first person I heard say it. So, you know, it's all relative, I guess. There's a thing in there that says I need to be louder. I don't know, Smurf, if I sound all right now or if we need to bring...
Well, we have... So, to Justin, we have this compeller also. So, like, to the extent that you're changing levels here, the compeller is going to just do its own thing anyway. So, we can turn Gabe louder on... what if we turn the volume louder up there? Which, by the way, where is the sound coming from? No, I mean, like, the volume louder...
The cloud.
Yeah. The sound that Gabe is sending into... Oh, okay. Yeah, anyway.
I can gain me up too, but...
Actually, yeah, you know what? We can turn Gabe up in Skype.
Oh, I mean, I'm only at like 25% on my side.
Incidentally, where's this...
Smurf says yes, now good. Okay, back to the tech talk.
Okay, by the way, I hang on, I got to mute the... There we go. All right, now we just muted the settings of the people chatting. Hey, so Tech Talk Catalyst, like I saw Chris Wolf was talking about, you know, the results of Catalyst and everything, and it seems like a lot of people from our community actually are going to Catalyst now.
I think I saw Ruben there.
Yeah, and this was that was Burton Group's conference, right? And then after Burton, I think it was, right? And then when Gartner bought Burton, that became a Gartner Catalyst. I think it was Burton's Catalyst, so, right?
Yeah, you were right. And so, I mean, is that something... I assume anybody can go to this. I don't know. Do you know?
Yeah. I know, like, regular people go, but a lot of the people that we see... Like, I know that... So, I've never been there, and it's mostly from, like, conference fatigue from my standpoint, although I think I might be trading up, like... I don't know. Maybe we can trade out MMS for Catalyst or something like that next year.
I've been going to MMS anyway without you.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I mean.
I think we should give it a shot for sure.
Yeah. But I saw Chris was talking about looking through the results of Catalyst and stuff. And we actually just got the speaking results of Bryforum last week also. So, you know, Bryforum, our 10th one was 2-3 weeks ago now in Chicago. But
these results are nuts, though, man. Like, we had 50 sessions, right?
Yeah.
And how many of them had a 4.0 rating or higher?
Yeah, 40. 41. 41 of the 50 sessions had a 4. That's, by the way, 4 out of 5, not 4 out of 10. But that is crazy, though, like in terms of quality. So it's they're not stack ranked. I mean, it's actually like you just, you know, rate the quality of the session. And yeah, 41 of the sessions had a four or higher. What's interesting that kind of I thought, like for my own ego, so this year I was number four in terms of like the best ranked session. And both at VMworld and at Citrix Synergy, I have been the number one ranked session. And that's based on all the voting. And the VMworld had like 200 something sessions. So I've been number one at both of those. And then I come to Briarform and I get my ass handed to me. Because this year at number four was my best year ever. So
I mean, but I can't think of a time when you've ever had the number one session.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah, no, I have not.
I mean, ever.
I have not. Yeah. I've never. I mean, unless it was, yeah, I definitely never have.
Maybe it was the first year, but so do you remember the first year? We actually had a standing ovation at the end.
Yeah.
Everybody was in the movie theater and the big thing. And I don't know that we've had a standing ovation. You have had a standing ovation since then.
No,
so
that was
I remember that feeling. That was a really cool thing.
Dude, that ranks with one of the highest moments of my life when we actually pulled that off. And then, you know, like at the very end, yeah, the audience stood up and like clapped. And that's the only standing ovation that I ever had. But I that was super, super awesome. But then
we wanted to keep that feeling going, so we just removed the seats from the closing keynote.
That's what, yeah. I'll tell you what though, like it's crazy because like you know that's a once in a life thing to get that, you know, especially first Briarform and everything, and then we come back to Briarform 2 in 2006, and after it's over, everyone just clapped and left, and I'm like, what, really? So,
That's all right. It brings us back to real world.
I can't read what that says. What does it say in the chat? Briarform latum.
I don't know what that means.
What does that mean, dude? I don't know what that means.
Is that like lead speak?
We want to do Australia for Briarform. So that's kind of on the list for next. And I was in Australia. I think I said this last week on the show. I was in Australia 2 weeks ago. And we are trying to figure out how to make it happen. I think we're definitely going to have to partner with someone. Like, you know, we partnered with CDG when we did it in, which is a distributor, to do it in London earlier this year. And I think the same kind of thing. But I'm thinking we're looking at like November-ish timeframe, which is just coming into their late spring, early summer. And so if we can do that in early November, then I think that should be a cool thing.
I can think of worse times to go. So, you know, for me, November is a little chilly.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, worst times. So, yeah, there's it's a good time to leave Omaha, you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So and then next year we'll be I think we're back in Chicago next year also, right?
I mean, we're definitely back. I don't know if it's in Chicago. I'm 99% sure it's in Chicago, unless something weird comes up, but I'm pretty sure that's where we're going.
We wanted to do for sure not Orlando and not Las Vegas.
Yeah. Although, does anything happen in Orlando now?
Foreclosed castles? I don't know.
Yeah.
So how about... and then I think we're in London again for Europe, I imagine. I think the CDG partnership was worked out really well for us. So, I mean, from our standpoint, so hopefully it did for them too.
Yeah, I'd love to go back to Amsterdam or something too. But yeah, London worked out really well. So, although, is the venue still there? There's a lot going on right there right now.
Right. Yeah. But. Yeah, that's weird, but that's a separate topic. But
yeah.
It's just good to know Americans aren't the only assholes in the world.
Man.
So London, I'll be in London, by the way. So in October, I'm speaking in London. I'm in, I'll be in London. I'll be in Frankfurt. I'll be in Amsterdam. I'll be in Paris. I think that's it in October speaking. And then I'll be in Miami actually. Someone's asked about Briarform Dallas. I will be in Dallas speaking actually in September also. I think like September 17th or something like that. I'm down in Dallas giving this 1 day show. So anyway, let's kind of move on. So news we had this past week. We had Gabe, I see your messages by the way. Skype is definitely sort of failing us a little bit. I didn't check and see if we actually got our firewall like open.
I'm back. I think our rig is such that you can keep talking no matter what, and nobody and your sound is not affected as it gets streamed up, right? So
yeah.
It's only me. So
yeah.
Keep an eye there if you lose me.
All right. I'll let you know. Hey, so let's talk about VMware CLA.
What Okay, so at Bryform, right, is when we had Sean Bass sitting at the table out in the lobby, right? And Sean, he coined the term CLA for corrective license adjustment.
Corrective licensing action.
Right.
Yeah, which is which, because we were basically talking last week about how VMware licensing is going to need to is going to need to change. Because of the vSphere 5 thing, and it just seemed like everyone would get screwed. Now, VMware, to this day, still claims only 5% of users would actually have to pay more money, but they did come out and make a few changes. The biggest change is, of course, they doubled the amount of VRAM for every single license option you could have.
Yeah.
So now they say that only 1% of customers will have to pay more, but who knows, I mean, you know, where that data comes from or whatever. But incidentally... But from the desktop standpoint, it doesn't really change. And so, from the desktop standpoint, there's still like the vSphere desktop edition. And the one thing that I learned actually since I did that article was, you know, I was saying it's kind of shady that VMware did not allow you to upgrade your existing vSphere 4, like, you know, enterprise licenses or whatever, into vSphere 5 desktop licenses. And I thought that was really kind of like, that's kind of shitty. Like, you had to buy new licenses, you know? Well, VMware clarified, or maybe this is something that, like, maybe this was clear from the beginning, and they only clarified for dumbasses like myself who didn't fully understand it, that all vSphere 4, let me make sure I said this right, all vSphere 4 customers who have the SNS, like that's like service and support or whatever, so who have active maintenance and who upgrade, they get the same amount of processor licenses with unlimited VRAM entitlements. So the VRAM entitlements are only for people who purchase new on vSphere 5. So everyone rolling into 5 is going to have unlimited VRAM, sort of like as a snapshot with the current license sets that they have. Which means if you have a current copy of vSphere 4 that you're using for desktops, then you're fine. So you can, as long as you're paying for maintenance on those, then you can just roll them right into vSphere 5, and it should be no different whatsoever.
sorry. Yeah. I like that the guy commented, and put you in your place.
Was that you? But, his name was, no. Kuth Gnuth, Cabe Gnuth.
no, but, and there was actually, you know, a link to the documentation and stuff too for that. So, I mean, you know, excellent.
Yeah,
I
so
guess good news.
My point is, like, it's kind of a non-story. So, you know, those first few stories I did had a big reaction, and I did the price analysis again when they announced the CLA, and basically said, oh, looks like everything is kind of the same here. Still, the desktop is the way to go. But I think at the end of the day, this is actually kind of a non-story. And so, you know, because again, and that's, yeah, as pointed out in the comments too, that this is only an issue if you're using vSphere as your platform. Not running Vue. So I guess if you're on like Zen Desktop or Quest Vue Workspace. So all of Vue customers, you know, they're all paying per user anyway, and they're going to migrate. If you have SNS, you get the new version of Vue, and you're good to go anyway. So really, even though we got like 20,000 page views on this topic, when it comes to desktops, I think this is kind of a non-story. We can move on.
Yeah, I think so too. Although, man, if you're on the server side, good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. And, you know, I love all the blogs that are like, hey, You know, you can use Zen Desktop if you don't like it, or you can use Hyper-V if you don't like it. So I guess that's certainly
true. Zen Server. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people with Zen Desktop are affected too, except now with the desktop, you know, license and stuff. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're on the desktop side, you're fine. Yeah. And switching platforms doesn't really help.
So so one of the comments says, so with all the speaking and traveling you do, how do you actually learn or go in-depth on this stuff? Well, that's a good question, and there's a couple things I'll say. The first thing is that what's kind of cool about this job is that this is my primary job. So so it's not like I'm blogging on the side or traveling, and I also have a day job to do. Like, my day job is this traveling and is the speaking. Now, some weeks are crazy, right? So, like, when I was in Australia, that was five shows in 5 days, and I didn't sort of do anything other than sit on airplanes and talk. But that was just like 5 days. And then, you know, I got home. I was in town all week last week. This week, it's Monday, Tuesday, I'm here. You know, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm gone. But this whole time, like when we were in Australia, you know, we're talking to, you know, we're giving speeches kind of in the morning and then talking to customers in the afternoon. And so it's one of these things where we're able to talk to, I don't know, like, just as I'm getting out there, you know, we're talking about, like, the VMware licensing stuff happened, and, like, you can kind of talk to the audience and find out who's doing what and who's, you know, like, who's using things. And so I feel like this actually getting out there keeps me pretty connected to what's happening in the community. In fact, a lot more than it was when I was sort of more homebound, I guess, and just sort of blogging and that kind of stuff. The other thing,
well, and you're in San Francisco too, so you're around a lot of these companies that are doing things.
A lot of the vendors, yeah. I mean, the other thing too is, but the thing is, people, you know, people asked if I'm as technical now as I used to be, and that's a hard thing to answer, especially because when you're talking with men and you're and engineers and you're asking if they're technical, that's like, hey, is your penis as big now as it used to be? I mean, of course, you're like, yeah, what are you talking about? But like the technical skill set I have now is like, it's evolving, you know? So like what I, cause you know, like in the early 2000s, I wrote those books like Citrix Metaframe XP Advanced Technical Design Guide. And, you know, we did the training classes, which were just around Metaframe and that, you know, presentation server Zen app. And I could not do that today. Like I could not write the in-depth technical hands-on, like, you know, Bible for Zen app today, like I could 10 years ago. But that said, I kind of feel like if you, I don't know, break down knowledge into like a small page size or whatever, I have like more pages of knowledge in my head. It's just that they don't go as deep in any one product anymore. So, you know, we've got our labs here and we play with stuff, but it's a lot of just kind of chat, talking to people and goofing around with the products. Because even the consulting we're doing now is more like, you know, desktop delivery strategy for companies as opposed to, oh, like my Zen app is having a performance problem. If that's the case, I'm going to call in, you know, like Tim Mangan or someone like that. So it's just a different, I think like the job has kind of evolved over the years.
Yeah. And we actually maintain a list of a few guys that we can send stuff to if it's out of that, out of those certain buckets that we actually can do, a little bit of consulting with. So,
yeah,
it's tough though. Cause there's a lot of stuff to, there's definitely more work than there is time, you know, when it comes to this. So you have to pick and choose. Do you want to have a certain level of knowledge about everything, or do you want to dig deep into certain things? And you just have to pick. And
that's what's hard with vendors too, because there's 140 vendors in this space. And I mean, well, actually, I've been saying that number for a year. It's probably more now. And you know, with desktop virtualization becoming sort of more, I don't want to say mainstream, but like it's branching out, you know. So now like all the WAN acceleration vendors have like specific solutions to support remoting protocols, and so I feel like Gabe, like for us to do our job, we have to know something about those. But that means like shit. Now we got to learn like, oh, there's Expand and there's Riverbed and there's Cisco and there's Silver something.
Well, and look at how we've been talking about traditional desktops between you and I, and a little bit in things that we, you know, webcast that we record and stuff. We've been talking about traditional desktops more lately than we have in the past, and that, I don't know, that's maybe in the last 10-12 months. But
oh, big time.
You know,
yeah.
It's just that it's now about the desktop, and before it was about terminal services, and then it became virtual desktops, and now it's just all about the desktops now. So it's branching out. I mean, we talked about MMS before, and maybe swapping out Catalyst for that, but I think that we can't not go to MMS.
Yeah.
You know,
I think you can't not go to MMS. I'm happy not going to MMS.
Yeah, and that's fine.
It is.
You know, you end up at a lot of these things that I don't have to go to, so I don't mind doing that, and even adding Catalyst if that's the case. But it's now evolved to the point where we're actually, you know, I think there's a SECM tag.
Oh, totally. Dude,
and there shouldn't have been before. There wouldn't have been before.
I swear we had an article that we wrote like 3 or 4 years ago where we kind of said like, oh man, do we have to now get into SMS and that kind of stuff? But it's true. And like to the comment on the chat about like us, you know, discussing non-VDI cases like diskless workstations, PBS, absolutely. And even not even non-VDI, I mean full-on non-desktop virtualization, so traditional workstations. I've got some articles sort of in my mind about what I want to write about this, but what I've been saying recently, and I sort of like dialed this messaging in when I was in Australia, is that, you know, desktop virtualization, you know, half that phrase is the word virtualization, and that's kind of what we focused on for the past 5 years, we as an industry in general, but the other half is desktop. And so desktop virtualization, I used to talk about how it's not just VDI. You know, it's VDI and terminal server and client VMs and streaming and all that stuff. But now I include it's traditional workstations too, because really at the end of the day, it's about Windows management. And it kind of made sense to me, frankly, at Briforum when I was saying, why would anyone use a client hypervisor if you could instead do disk encryption and full disk backup and image streaming and remote installations and all this kind of stuff? And then the client hypervisor vendors were like, well, yeah, that's the point, right? You can do all that, or you can use our stuff to do that. And I was like, oh, right. Because that's the thing at the end of the day. Like, it is just about managing desktops.
Yeah, they
desktops,
just package
you know?
It up into something. Yeah.
And a lot of these kinds of things, like now we're talking about, you know, user virtualization and application virtualization and migrating and all that kind of stuff. It's just, these are all just different delivery tools. So in the sense that in the old days, we had desktops and we had laptops. Now it's we have desktops and laptops and VDIs and client VMs. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we're still delivering Windows, at least for the next, you know, 5-10 years.
Yeah, and that's the desktop capital D versus desktop lowercase d that we keep talking about, too, where, you know, it's, you're right, and maybe that's actually the better way to explain it rather than complex capitalization rules. At the end of the day, it's just Windows.
Yeah, but it's but so that's it. Like I think our focus. You know, it's funny because at Tech Target, Gabe and I write for the Search Virtual Desktop website, and for Brian Madden. But we have this other site called like Search Enterprise Desktop. To be honest, I haven't actually looked at that site in a long time. I don't even know what's on it.
You should probably write for that.
Search Enterprise Desktop. Jesus Christ, I'm still writing on my URL. Still typing.
It's a slippery slope, my friend.
Still typing. still typing. Oh, okay. Typed in the URL. Let's see what we have here.
But now Chrome will complete that for you next time. That shows that when did you install Chrome?
Oh, right.
When's the last time you emergency cleared your cache to hide something?
No, no. Different browser. That's two browsers, man. That's what Safari is for. Safari is a dirty, dirty browser. I go to Search Enterprise Desktop, and the main article is, does Apple expect to sell 300 million iPhone 5s? So,
that's on Enterprise Desktop?
We need to talk to someone there. All right, we just expanded our area. Conquest.
And see, just like that, we got a little thinner on it.
Yeah, right? So just like that, we're going to add that many more, you know, pages of info to our knowledge, and we're going to know something else even less. So, but it's always changing. So, you know, so today, I don't think I told you this, Gabe. So today I'm going down, I'm going down to San Jose, today, as soon as we get off the show here, which for those who are not from the San Francisco area, I will say that San Jose is about as far as you can possibly go and still plausibly claim to be in the Bay Area. So
this is where I was up closer to your house, and my Verizon BlackBerry told me that the closest Apple store was in Los Gatos, which is a suburb of San Jose. And I turned around and drove another hour south back in the wrong direction.
San Francisco that has like 45 Apple stores in it.
Right.
I
was 4 miles north.
Wait. What were you using? You were using your BlackBerry or whatever, right? So your BlackBerry
So
your BlackBerry, they probably had some like routine in there that made it so that they would send you on a wild goose chase. You want an Apple store? No, man. Closest one's in Denver. But
man,
don't.
That, oh, God.
We can direct you there. So I'm going down to San Jose, which is like more than an hour drive. And this is from someone who drives now like 2,000 miles a year. It's not, you know, I'm not loving driving. But so I'm going down there. I'm meeting a company called Nutanix, something like that.
You should find out.
Yeah, so this is funny. So I get an email from someone over there named Tiffany Toe. And I'm assuming I'm pronouncing it right. Her last name's T-O. And she had, you know, so she sent me an email via LinkedIn, like, hey, you know, I used to work at VMware. We've met a few times. I worked with Noah and Jerry, like on Vue and Horizon and that kind of stuff. So she's at the startup called Nutanix. And I'm like, Tiffany Toe, I know that name for sure. And then so I looked back through our archives. And do you remember when I was at, VMworld?
Do a Google search for Tiffany Toe.
Oh, or if you do, use Safari.
Well, I went to an image search hoping to pick up like a LinkedIn image or something.
So So in 2009, I was at VMworld in Cannes. And I went to one of the desktop breakout sessions, and they were talking about basically like, you know, why VDI is awesome. But the problems with the presentation is that VMware, they were comparing VDI and saying why it was better than traditional computers. But a lot of the benefits they're talking about were general data center desktop based benefits. So it's like they were comparing VDI to traditional computing, yet completely ignoring terminal server. And then they're saying that, like, you know, all your apps, you just use ThinApp, so you can have a shared image and then put all your apps in ThinApp, and put them in ThinApp. And then I remember even asking the question, like, well, what about your apps that don't go in ThinApp? And the presenter is like, well, that's very rare, but if so, I guess you can put them in the traditional, put them into the base image, like on your workstation. And I'm like, well, didn't we just double our desktops? And it got to be one of those things where I was asking a few questions, like in the speaker very eloquently sort of like moved on before I had my questions answered. And that caused me to write the article called, so I wrote the article, How VMware is Misleading Everyone About the Cost Savings of VDI. Anyway,
is that Tiffany Toe?
That's Tiffany Toe. So that's how we know each other. So I don't know if she remembers that. I'm guessing yes. if not the jackass in the back of the room, she probably remembers the article that came out the next day.
But she's, you know, product marketing, product manager is what I see in her LinkedIn profile here. So director of product marketing at Nutanix.
Oh, dude, yeah, so, she's my best friend now.
So I mean, she's still either she doesn't hold a grudge or she's really good at marketing.
No, that's the thing about vendors. Like, that's what this job is so crazy, because, like, you know, you have you can say whatever you want. And obviously people can agree or not agree or whatever, but, like, you know, and we want to be kind of respectful in, like, the grand scheme of the world. But I mean, like, you know, you can say, like, this vendor product is the most craziest piece of shit I've ever seen in my entire life. And then, you know, someone will call from the vendor and you kind of go back and forth with them a few times and, you know, whatever. And then they're mad at you. And then they go work a new startup who needs coverage. And they're like, oh, Bri, hey, buddy, come on, you know.
No names.
But then again, you know, we have to. Yeah. And like, this is not to pick on Tiffany, because, like, this happens like.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not doing that.
I'm just. Yeah. But my point is, that's where I'm going today. So I'm going out to see her and, you know, a bunch of folks from their team, which ordinarily driving to San Jose is, like I said, out of the question. But I've got another meeting in San Jose as it happens this afternoon, too.
Got a note. So you don't know anything else about them other than what we've talked about briefly.
There's a GigaOm article. And, you know, I did something stupid here, which is I got two different computers in front of me, one to run the chat and one that I'm actually, you know, going off of my notes on. So I can't pop the link into...
I can't.
Into the show. Yeah, so here, Justin, you can write that.
I got it.
All right, so it's a GigaOm. There you go.
Actually, probably people haven't even heard us start talking about that yet with the delay.
Oh, come on, it's not that bad.
All right. So the GigaOm thing, like, so this is, I guess maybe this is a question for next week, but, you know, it looks like they're combining the storage and the compute onto a single device. Is that similar to what V3 is doing?
Well, that's the thing, because so they're a hardware vendor or appliance vendor or whatever that's going to be. But it also says, though, that they're combining storage, local storage resources of servers plus their hardware, and kind of making sort of a grid that goes across lots of things. So I don't know that it's, although. Oh, actually, I see what you're saying. So it's right. So it's like the servers. So right, I was thinking they were using existing servers, but they're actually going to maybe sell the servers that have the storage built into them. So
that's
how
I read it. But okay. I suppose that's just a question for them today.
So it's V3, and who's that other company we talked about the very first week? Justin can find that. Brianmadden.com/blog/BGLive. And it was, they came into the office. It was. They did video recording stuff. There's another company that does it, and they are called, wait for it, Pivot 3, which is interesting. So we got Pivot 3 and V3 and possibly Nutanix. So Nutanix, or now Gabe and I are from Ohio, so it's like Nutanix where we come from. So so Nutanix is they say they have a specific desktop play. So
I think it's crazy. If that's the case, I think it's crazy that there's these three, you know, appliance manufacturers out there. And we talked to another guy at Bryform that was interested in that wanted to do the same thing. And I just, wow. I mean, is there room for four of those things? Although,
well,
maybe there is. They apparently see a market for them. You know?
Yeah, but who has customers is the real question, you know? So that's the thing with all this kind of stuff.
It's amazing that four people come out with this idea at roughly the same time.
Yeah, and, I mean, you know, we'll see how many of them are existing a year.
Yeah.
By the way, for the commenter, I know this is a little bit late, but for the commenter who says that every time I say or you know, you should take a drink, I do not recommend that. Because you'll be very drunk very quickly.
it does say Brian. I always assumed that was me that was saying the ums and the you knows and the you likes. But really, we're both from the same area of Ohio even. So these are the things that are just kind of bred into us, and we're not professional radio guys.
Speaking of bred into us, though, and speaking of being from Ohio, so you know we want to love all of our vendors equally, right? But man, so VMware, who's I think gotten a little bit better. They finally consolidated all of their end user computing blogs into the same space. So all the different, they had a bunch of different blogs, all with separate RSS feeds and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And they finally consolidated all those together. So now, and they've gotten a lot more, what do I want to say? Like often frequent with posts, but the two posts I had, so I go to check this blog and two posts come in and one of them talks about a customer of theirs in Pittsburgh. And you know, we're from Cleveland. So VMware's talking about customers in Pittsburgh. And then the next thing they have is a customer in Michigan. So, you know.
If you're not in the U.S., this is about football and our football.
Yeah. You
know how much Man U hates Chelsea? It's about like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and there's like two. There's one's professional, one is college. The two rivalries with Ohio football is both Pittsburgh and Michigan. Yeah.
So I made a note too for some Cleveland love. It has nothing to do with technology, but there's a freaking superhero movie being filmed just a block from where we used to live.
Oh, really?
On East 9th Street, The Avengers, which is like the culmination of all of these.
It's being filmed in Cleveland.
Superhero movies lately. Yeah, they're filming. I think I saw 30% of it is in Cleveland. So they've been around like
the interior building shots.
No. So
there's so many empty ones to be used in Cleveland.
Well, that's true. So on East 9th Street, the one side of the road is empty, just vacant buildings. And the other side has real businesses on it. They're going down and refronting all these buildings with new awnings and stuff to make it look like 42nd Street in New York.
So basically they're like,
the movie takes place not in Cleveland.
Right. They're like we need an entirely intact downtown that we can take over for 6 months and it won't negatively impact anyone. And they're like, Cleveland. Because I remember when Toyota launched the new Camry like 10 years ago when I was living in Ohio, we have the Inner Belt in Akron, which is sort of our highway system like through the middle of downtown. And they actually closed that down for 3 days to film this Toyota commercial. And the Toyota PR people were like, this is great. Where else in the country can you shut down an entire Inner Belt system for 3 days?
Well, this is one solid month of closing it down. The businesses stay open, and those businesses have got to be doing great. But do you know, the state of Ohio gave them an $8 million like tax cut.
That's
tax
all
credit.
Their money. So the state of Ohio is gone. So anyway, back to IT. So we were talking about VMware, and I'm speaking at VMworld, and I can't remember if we talked about this earlier. So I submitted a bunch of topics to VMworld. I submitted the topic on the consumerization of IT. I submitted the topic on the state of the industry. I submitted both of those topics because I thought they'd be really fun to talk about. But then I was a little bit nervous. I was like, well, what if those topics are too far out there? So I sort of also submitted a safety topic, which is terminal server. Come on. terminal server versus... terminal server versus VDI, 2011 edition.
Did all three get accepted?
No, only the terminal server versus VDI got accepted. So that's like shows me to.
So you were right.
Yeah. Well, Well, or maybe they would just accept one regardless. So if I have a crazy session idea that I want to do, then I should just submit only that crazy session and nothing else. But it's cool. I mean, you know, and Gabe, we gave this session at Synergy, and I do feel like it's, to be honest, my views have completely changed about terminal server versus VDI, even since we gave a session 2 years ago, which I gave it VMworld also 2 years ago. But my views have totally changed because now I'm way more pro VDI than I was before. Although I want to use VDI only for, you know, one to one, not for the one to many. Because if you're doing one to many, just use terminal server. But I don't know if anyone from VMworld is listening, but I have to imagine. So it's going to be an awesome presentation, you know, if I may say so myself. But it's so, like, every single thing that happens, because first of all, you know, they say to us, you know, you have to, for your slides, you know, do you want to have notes on the slides, or do you want to have just have it, you know, when the people download the slides? And I'm saying, oh, I don't want people to download my slides because it's just pictures. I can give a PDF instead. And then they're like, okay, that's fine. But then they say, okay, submit your presentation for us to review. But then my presentation was 31 megabytes and 25 megabytes is a limit. So they're like, well, can you make it smaller? And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. And then they scheduled me on days that I conflicted with other stuff we were doing. And then, you know, I want to use custom fonts in the thing. And then I want to use presenter view. And it's like just on and on and on. So this may be my last VMworld that I ever present at, not because I don't want to speak anymore at VMworld, but I just imagine that there's some, you know, poor intern working on the VMworld events team who next time my submission comes along, they're just going to be like, that guy, no, he is out.
I mean, how many presentations a year do you give? I mean, you got to be given 100 by now, right?
Yeah, it's,
I mean,
not that many, but it's like 50, like legitimately 50 different presentations a year.
So you're very set in your ways. You know, you're getting older. You've been doing this a long time. So it's 50 a year, but it's, you know, it's 1,000 over your career or something, or 500 over your career. And so you're set in your ways, and you got to have it a certain way. And maybe you're becoming kind of a presentation princess, but you got to have it that way. And I understand why. Otherwise it screws with your presentation. Cause it's not, you're not the guy that stands behind the podium or just, you know, moseys out around the audience and talks. I mean,
yeah,
shit, man. So presenting with you, it's like holding you back, because I know that you want to like flail your arms around and yell like Kermit the Frog, but yeah.
That is true. I think my next presentation, I'm going to have hip hop. I'm going to do it in a hip hop costume and do it with spray paint cans on the, like virtual spray paint cans on the screen. And I'm going to have a costume with like a blinged out VDI necklace. And yeah, it's going to be cool. This is going to be my 2012 presentations though, but I'm already starting to work on that. And like music in the background.
You're not kidding, are you?
I'm not kidding. By the way, Justin, see if presentationprincess.com is available.
If it isn't, it won't be for long.
So one of the things that was brought up in the comments was about DataCore, and should Citrix buy them? What do you think in the comments? Sounds good to me. I don't know.
What advantage does that give them? Because right now, everything Citrix seems to do is with regards to VMware. You know, everything seems to be a lob or trying to stay in ahead of or catch up to, in some regards, VMware. Is there some sort of, what's the advantage for buying DataCore instead of just partnering with them?
Well, I mean, they can just throw it into Zen Server. So maybe the capabilities you get, I mean, DataCore does a lot of things. So it's sort of like a software SAN. I mean, I know vSphere 5 has a lot of new storage capabilities, and they talk about that it's about 2 years ahead of the other hypervisor platforms with regard to their storage capabilities. And that's what I've heard from actual analysts, not just the VMware marketing people. And so maybe this is a way, maybe this is something
So here's the thing. Maybe you don't remember this, but we were sitting around getting ready for the prediction show. I think it was this year. It could have been last year because they all run together. And I said something about this specifically, about Citrix and DataCore. Like, I wonder if there's anything to go on there. And what I just asked you is what you asked me, and I couldn't come up with anything either, like, other than could help to have it built in. It's nice to see other people thinking about it, but
I like the comment, DataCore being long in the tooth, so that means it's perfect for Citrix to acquire them then, right? Did we talk about RingCube? That was last week. Did we talk about that on the show last week?
I don't think we did. No, because it was, I think we did the show before the RingCube story.
No, I think it was that. I think we did talk about that, actually. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. Obviously.
Oh, that's right. That's
it hasn't happened yet. So if it's happening, it's still out there.
So you were talking about the blogs before, about how VMware is opening up and they've consolidated, made it easier to view and find all of their information, and they've actually, you know, they've continued to grow the amount of information that they're putting out there. Citrix has been putting out information for a long time, and sometimes it's kind of aggressive.
So I love the one actually here. Can you post that link into the comments?
Yeah, you bet.
I love my tweet. So do you think I can tweet this? Is that here's the link as I'm waiting for it. Yeah. So my tweet for this is going to be called, like, Citrix got confused. They thought the goal is to, they're confused because the goal is to have a bigger dick, not to be a bigger dick. And this is sort of funny because, so VMware is now publicly talking about the new capabilities of VU5 and the upgrades to PC over IP. And in fact, Randy Groves, who's the CTO of Teradici, was at Briarform, and he gave a whole presentation on just what's new in the version of PC over IP that will be coming with VU5 later this year. Or I still think he couldn't say VU5 in some future version of VU. Although actually I take it back. VMware now did sort of confirm that it's VU5, and they're going to talk about it at VMworld and everything. And, you know, they talked about all these features, all these additions and everything. And then so Tal Klein from Citrix writes this thing, you know, oh, PC over IP, we're going to cure cancer. We're going to cure world hunger. We're going to make you look 20 years younger. Like, obviously being completely passive aggressive, like.
Facetious. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But what's crazy, though, is so that's fine. I mean, obviously they're going to be fighting each other over the protocols and that kind of stuff. But when. But you go to that blog post from Citrix, which is funny too, because was it you, Gabe, that said that? Like, even, you know, now that both Simon Crosby and Harry Labana have left.
Yeah, right. I figured they lost their edge.
Yeah, so Hal stepped up to be the prick blogger for them. Yeah. And
so, what's interesting to me is that VMware typically, I can't think of any incident, but VMware typically stays away from these things. You know, they don't lob up some sort of rebuttal. Which has always been interesting to me. You know, there was Harry, remember one time he got out there and challenged Scott Davis, the desktop CTO at VMware, to a duel.
Yeah, I think he said we will go
to a public debate.
Yeah, we will both go on stage and drop our pants and just stand there. And, you know,
audience applause.
Yes. So, but obviously, yeah, but the thing is too, it's like, you know, I've soured on this whole concept of debate in general, because I feel like, you know, the skills of the debater really equate to who sort of, you know, wins the debate in the audience's mind, and it doesn't have anything to do with whose product happens to be better. And so I'm glad, really, frankly, that you know, VMware did not respond. And I myself am not even, like, we even saw this at Briarform in the past couple of years. I've gotten really away from these sort of debate type things, because I just feel like they're just not super productive, you know? And I just feel like it's, I don't know. I'm not as much of a fan. So I'm glad that VMware is staying out of this fray. I still stand, though, behind kind of what I was saying before. Like, the reason I like Citrix right now anyway, HGX, is there's still more clients for HGX. So now VMware is coming along, and they've got now an Android client for Vue that's in beta. They have the iPad client. They've got that. That's it, I guess. Well, and the Windows client. Well, and then I guess there's a Linux one, too. It's built into a lot of thin clients and stuff like that.
Well, the open client.
Yeah. Speaking of these clients, so I saw that the Droid 3 is out. I can't remember if we talked about this before, and I'm trying to work out how I can break my phone to get a Droid 3, because I feel like I've got a Droid 2 right now, and it's just a little sluggish.
Well, but I thought you'd been scheming already, and you could just make that happen. So it's out, man. Make it happen.
So does anyone from Motorola listen to this right now? I will fully disclose that you gave me a Droid 3 for free. I have no problem whatsoever saying how awesome the Droid 3 is and how much I love it, and that's based on actual use. Well, hypothetically, that's what I'd say if I used it. Of course, there's.
Is it LTE?
I think it's not, actually. It is a world phone, but LTE, I think we talked about this before, that it's limited time of engagement or something like that, I think is what it stands for, because LTE, like, fucking screams for 12 minutes, and then your connection is just explicit,
yeah,
inexplicably
Droid 3 doesn't support LTE.
Gone.
Be damned.
Yeah. But it's got, you know, it's got a little video out, and I've been kind of down on this whole Nirvana phone concept because I just don't get why you would. I don't know.
Yeah, like, you're not clamoring for an Atrix.
Yeah. Because I don't think like I like the fact. I mean, if my phone has the option to plug into full screen, or if my phone has the option to hook up a Bluetooth keyboard, like of course I would want that. Like, you know, who wouldn't? But I don't want to carry that dock with me. You know, I think that dock is kind of stupid because if I have something that's like, it's bigger than my laptop and heavier than my laptop, and by the way, it can't do anything without the phone. So why would I want to buy something that's like artificially limited?
You didn't go to Steve and Jim's Bryform session, did you?
I did not.
Phone? Okay, I did not either. So I want to watch the video when those are done. But I want to see what Steve's argument is, because we actually weren't going to have that session. And then at Synergy, Steve made a pretty convincing case. I mean, he definitely believes in the technology as much as we just don't want it. So
Steve is a sales guy. I mean, yeah,
Steve Greenberg, right?
Yeah. This guy, like, he sold us. He sold Gabe and me on this session, because we rejected the session, and he sold us on why we need that session at Bryforum. So next time I need something sold, even if it's why we need a TV upgrade, I'm trying to sell to my girlfriend, I'm going to bring in Steve and have him make the case.
Well, there's your Droid 3 argument.
Sell it
although he'll convince you to get an Atrix.
Sell it to Tech Target. Oh, yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, he's an Atrix guy, right? So, although right. Atrix is on the other, that's on AT&T, right?
Yes.
So anyway, that's I don't know. Hopefully I can get that. Like I love, I mean, like I said, if my phone can plug into a full screen and can use a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse, I would take it. I mean, like, of course I'm not going to say no to that, but I'm not going to be carrying around a dock anytime soon to replace my laptop, especially when they say, well, you know, what's nice to the dock is there's no data synchronization because you just plug in and it's like the same data source. And
can't,
I'm like,
can't my iPhone do that already? I sync a Bluetooth keyboard to it?
I
don't even know if I can, but I mean, my iPad could, and I guess there's no mouse, so that's one thing.
But it uses the thing. So like Citrix Receiver, the receiver for iOS now, you actually use the surface of the phone as your touchpad.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a little awkward because the glass, like your fingers kind of stick to it a little bit more than on an actual touchpad. But
and it's cool, but is it? It's not ideal. Like I still, it's not my daily driver, and frankly, I've never done it. I've never even had the inclination to do it. I bought the HDMI out cable for the iPad. It doesn't even work. Or the DVI out, HDMI. Yeah.
Wait, why doesn't it work?
Well, I used it. I tried to. I put it into my television, and it worked okay, but it wasn't. It wasn't very great. And I tried to record a demo with it and plug it into one of those DVI to USB devices that we use to record at Bryform and things like that. And it couldn't even sync with that thing.
What? Wait, why not?
I don't know. I plugged it in. I said, oh, crap, this doesn't work. And then didn't even spend time troubleshooting it. I tried two different DVI to USBs, but that was it. And that's when I took it downstairs to see if it worked there. So HDMI out works a little bit, but it doesn't work that well.
As I understand it, Apple controls what can and can't use the out. It's not just like a universal thing. So.
So I was converting it to DVI because HDMI.
I think it's like HDCP and all this other crap running on it. So they don't even.
That could be.
Yeah.
That's producer Justin.
Yeah, way to join in, Justin. He's our Carl Pilkington of. Actually, and with your hair short like that, you're kind of round. Where can we send Justin to? Actually, Justin, now that you joined in, you sent us a blog post.
Oh yes, I did.
To submit and this is your blog post is basically about. So you joined us.
About 1 year ago.
When was your actual anniversary date you came on? It's like almost literally a year ago.
The first day of VMworld would be.
Okay, so you joined us a year ago, having no experience with desktop virtualization. You're like a sound and video editor.
Right. And so I thought a blog post explaining my perspective on it would be kind of handy for them.
What is your perspective on, to put you on the spot?
That no one really knows what the hell's going on, even though it's being marketed that they do.
1 year of hands-on in the trenches, newbie desktop virtualization experience, and there is your tweet.
Justin has listened to more vendors talk than we have.
Yeah,
I think because by walking around to all these shows and doing all the vendors at Bri Forum and things like that.
If I've learned anything, it's that even in a closed loop environment, they still can't make their demos work at a show.
So let me ask you. So what's the biggest? So you were recently at Synergy and Bri Forum. So do any vendors stick out in your mind that were actually like were? Because so Justin goes around to these vendors and records their demos, and now I know that you're looking at them through the lens of like a videographer, like you're not really listening to them. You're just like making sure that the levels are good and they're on screen and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But have you found any, did any vendors stick out to you that actually seem interesting from sort of like a layperson standpoint?
Actually, I kind of like V3, believe it or not, just because they seem to have a solution that was so well integrated together. Now, granted, I don't know anything about it. I don't know its actual performance or anything, but they had hardware there.
Or what you use it for.
Yeah, or what the hell you do with it. Yeah. But just the fact that, you know, they have a box physically sitting there, everything's built together. So from my perspective, it's like easy, you know, because it's all in one piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, it doesn't have any software on it.
So right.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, thanks for your first year. What's the most boring vendor presentation you ever saw?
Most boring vendor presentation?
Too many to mention.
Probably one of the print ones, I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's...
Printing's one of those things that's tough because, unfortunately, people still need it, but printing itself is boring. It's
but
like
why
backup,
isn't it worked
like,
out by now?
That's a good question.
But even, even like, Citrix's new printing, like, they have this, like, Project Laser, which is their code name for the printing. Although it's actually funny because they're named...
Oh, I get it.
Because they're all named... Well, all the Citrix's new code names are named after American Gladiators. So it's like Project Nitro and you know, like Ice and all this kind of stuff.
So they're going to turn into like the Family Guy of the VDI world. They're just going to make cultural references and hope people get them. And like...
Ironically, the Zen client products are named after Family Guy characters.
See, there you go.
So this is the Brian release that just came out.
Seth MacFarlane's a private investor. Yeah.
But it's funny, though, because it's, you know, some of the core, because I think, you know, Citrix still does not have like the universal printing drivers that they introduced. Well, those were my books like 10 years ago. They introduced these universal drivers, which for you, Justin, it basically means instead of installing separate drivers for all your printers, they build one special one that uses for everything. But that only is for locally connected printers onto your client. You can't use it for all the network printers that you map to. And ThinPrint, UniPrint, Tricerat, they all had those sort of network-based drivers years ago. And when Citrix first came out with the universal driver, I remember I was blogging about this, and I'm like, oh, this is going to kill you guys. Like, what's ThinPrint going to do? They're going to be dead because all Citrix has to do is flip the switch, and it's going to be, you know, you guys are dead. And that was like 8 years ago.
The free market continues to work.
Well, but, you know, Citrix could buy one of these companies and implement one of their solutions, and people would still bitch that it didn't work for them because there's so many different crazy-ass use cases for it. So, really, instead of just dealing with that whole shitstorm, they just said, you guys can just deal with it yourself. And, you know, there's still, you know, four or five different vendors out there that do printing, and one works better in one organization than another does, and Citrix doesn't have to do anything, you know, have anything to deal with it.
It's kind of like outsourcing. Yeah, it's like outsourcing your manufacturing to China. You know, a few people jump off some buildings and like, it's not your problem. That's their culture over there. And meanwhile, your laptops look nice. And that's what Citrix has now. So good plan. speaking of good plan, so do you see that Oracle has an iPad application now? Oracle, the Oracle, you know, the Sunray clients. There's a Sunray software for the iPad.
Is there a link for that one in here that I can post in there? No.
There is not a link, and I still have to this day. You know, I talked to the Oracle people. Were they at Bri Forum?
They were at Bri Forum London.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
Actually, they had a cool thing because you could run two different OSs on a dual screen setup remotely, which was actually kind of interesting.
And how did they also had the thing, because of the way they hook in. So they're using the protocol called ALP, like Application Link Protocol or something, and that protocol connects into their hypervisor. It connects in at the hypervisor level, so you can actually, instead of the hypervisor being served out of the Windows VM you're connecting to, you're connecting in like underneath, and so that way you can actually connect in and watch the VM boot up. And they had the coolest demo. That's right, because that means you don't need any client-side support. It's all done at the hypervisor. So they had Windows 3.1 on DOS running in a VDI session. which means you can now run DOS and Windows 3.1 on your iPad.
That's what I've always dreamed of.
There's a cool demo. Yeah.
I mean, but I had one of those original iMacs, and I always thought it was just cool as hell to connect to a Windows session with, you know, MetaFrame XP or whatever it was back then, and just have Windows running on the iMac, which, you know, at that time blew your mind. So.
Yeah, I remember the first time I but it's funny though, because we get caught up in the technology. Like, I remember Bryform, I think 2 years ago with Aqua Connect, they were there with Aqua Connect terminal server, and so I used the RDP client for iPad. This is last year Bryform. The RDP client for iPad to connect to a remote Mac session, and I was like, this is insane. This is awesome. Like, check it out. I'm running full Mac desktop on my iPad. Whoa. And then people were like, yeah, you know, there's like, log me in and go to my PC. This has been around for a long time. And this one's like kind of shitty and slow because it's like RDP, you know. And so, yeah, it was crazy. But Oracle still, you know what? I need to actually get on this, because when we talked to them at London, I still never have, you know, like one of the
you can't write an article about a thin client or even the geek out that we did. We asked for who should be included in the geek out, and we went through several rounds of voting and things like that.
Oh, that the Geek Week
thing. Geek Week. When we left off, you know, Oracle or Sun Solution back then, man, they have a very small but very enraged group of fans when we leave them out.
They are a lot of people. But to that end, I don't know where Sun is based. I mean, Oracle's out here, and so I need to get on that. I know they've got what's the guy's name? Craig, the Think Thin guy blog.
Bender.
Craig Bender. Yeah, I think I met him once, like 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And I know like Warren Ponder, who kind of does, you know, he sort of owns PCGrip for VMware. Used to be. At Sun and worked with him. I have to get down there and find out what they've got, because it is true that I really don't know too much at all about what Sun, now Oracle, is doing in this desktop virtualization space. So and frankly, I should probably get there in time so that they can trade me for tickets for the America's Cup, which is here in a couple of years in San Francisco, and it will be quite the event. And it's a big Larry Ellison deal. So, you know, maybe I forget the fact that they're just taking all this waterfront space at submarket prices, and the city just bent over and gave it to them. If we can have some tickets. Oh, and also, wow.
So
VDI.
So those who are complaining that this is slowly becoming an Engadget show. Now it's about local San Francisco politics.
Oh my gosh! So the mayor. I won't even get into this, but
BART was shut down. Everybody
oh my panicked. Gosh, it's crazy. But so okay, look, we got like in a couple minutes left. You know, Henry's asking about if we can speak more about V3, and they're another company that I've seen them at a couple of shows. So, and I don't know them that well, but they are in Salt Lake City, which is not too far of a flight, and I think also like Install Free and Symantec has big offices in Salt Lake City. So I need to get up there in the next, you know, month or two. So V3 is a hardware vendor. They make servers, but they basically make servers that are custom built for serving VDI sessions. And I mean, obviously at the end of the day, you know, they have the same stuff that everyone else has, the same Intel processors. I think they actually use Fusion IO cards inside their machines, which are like storage, like super fast storage cards.
Yeah, and I think they're super micro boxes.
But with really cool bezels.
Yeah, and I mean it's
made out of metal,
hardware. Yeah, it's not the same thing that your old access gateway was made out of.
Right, which today my old access gateway, by the way, has been retired. It is now only a bezel.
It has been recycled into new access gateways.
Yeah,
new V3.
Yeah, maybe it's been ground up, and I don't know where it goes. But V3. But what's cool though, they have a cool demo, because their demo was they had the fastest, like sickest Alienware laptop that money could buy. And then they had one of their sessions running on a VDI on their hardware, and they did side-by-side boot, like booted them both at the same time. And they could actually boot their VDI session faster than that Alienware could boot.
And that was a year ago.
Yeah, yeah. So. And what was cool about that was that kind of fits into the grand vision of us saying, hey, you know, as server virtualization gets better and better and these hypervisors get better and just bigger as economies of scale, you know, we will get to a point where VDI desktop will be a better user experience than a traditional desktop.
But will it be too late for Windows at that point? That's the
question. That's probably a good topic for next week.
All right, then. Well, hey, we're doing pretty good at ending right on the hour. So someday maybe we'll have a special edition that has to keep us going for longer.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to report on live, Citrix just bought RingCube.
Well, we're going to do
that. We're staying online all afternoon. Clear your schedules.
VMworld, we're doing that. But that's awesome. A few weeks. So, hey, all who listen, thank you so much. Gabe, thank you. See you next week.
All right. Yep. See ya.